Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to the Game Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Thursday, the 2nd of December, the last month of the year. Thank you, everybody, for hanging with us today. As you know, on Thursday, we come to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Cigars with the Game Show, Sports Talk Radio today. And there's so much going on. Some of it's just out and out craziness. ASU basketball, what is up? What is going on? We'll get into that. ASU football, what did I say 7 weeks ago now? ASU is an 8-4 football team. And guess what they are? An 8-4 football team. We'll talk about that as well. Baseball and their infinite wisdom has decided to lock the players out. So we have billionaires claiming poverty and not letting millionaires work. Someone needs to let them understand what the temperature of the room is right now. We'll get into that as well, too. The Suns, they're streaking. They go for number 18 tonight. They are playing incredible basketball. Incredible. They're going to be down a man, a very key player. We'll talk about that as well. And then lastly, but definitely the most important, got my man on today, 115, Michael Caratillo's big-time sports personality person here in the Valley. Believe in Pac-10's basketball's very own. So we'll jump into all that stuff today right here on the Cave Show with PLR, as we're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Come on down. Check them out. You can become a member as well. Get your access to the members' lounge. Get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Everything you could possibly want to feel comfortable. Plenty of places to sit. All the league passes. Back, watch your game. They serve beer and wine. So just enjoy yourself. Also, if you don't become a member, look, there's a whole bunch of people in here just sitting back, relaxing, tons of TVs to watch. It is definitely the place to be. Now, if for any reason you can't make it down here, just go to Stogie World. That's STOEGIEworld.com. And if you order early enough in the day, your shipment will ship out the exact same day. All this happens and goes down at the one and only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And don't forget today, first Thursday of the month, that means only one thing. It is ladies' night. So come in here for ladies, please come down. More discounts, special giveaways, a little bit of everything. So just get your butt down here to Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Make sure you don't know the PLR sent you. So I want to start with baseball, and I want to start with the lockout. And I want to talk about how asinine this is. So a long, long, long time ago, the 90s, there was a baseball stoppage. There was a lockout. And a lot of people are saying, well, don't worry about it. There's still plenty of time to get all this stuff worked out. Well, there isn't always a lot of time to get stuff worked out. I just don't get this one. Understand what a lockout is. It's different from a strike. The players are ready to work. The players are definitely ready to work. It's the owners that are not allowing them to report. That means no training, no training staff. If you've had surgery and you're looking for rehab, can't get it from the teams because players are locked out. They cannot come into any Major League Baseball facilities at all. And so what's happening is the owners and the small markets are once again saying they can't compete, they can't continue to lose money, they don't know what they're going to do. Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, is out here saying, We already have teams in smaller marketplaces that struggle to compete. Shortening the period of time that they can control players makes it even harder for them to compete. It's also bad for fans in those markets. The most negative reaction we have is when a player leaves via free agency. We don't see that making it early available easier. We don't see that as a positive. So basically, players are getting tired of baseball. And there's an example of this with Chicago Cubs going back a few years ago, where what they do is they can hold on to your rights for X amount of time. So what they do is your service time doesn't start until you're actually in the big league. So if they know they're going to call you, for example, from AAA, they'll hold off on that call-up until they no longer have to be responsible for that year of service time. So they're like buying extra time of service time. What baseball is trying to do is stop the free agent movement. But baseball has a whole bunch of other issues going on. They really do. They don't want players to get their freedom too soon because they're worried about guys all teaming up and going to one team and the big markets being able to afford it and smaller markets can't. But every year I look up at baseball, I see teams like, I don't know, Toronto, pretty good. Tampa Bay is pretty good. Oakland is always pretty good. But it's always they can't compete. And once their players get good enough, they bail for big markets. Well, big markets can't pay everyone either. So I think the problem isn't with the players per se. The problem is that the owners don't know how to police themselves. When you look at some of the contracts that are going around, players aren't signing these contracts and then submitting it to the owners just for the okay, and then they give themselves the money. Baseball is at fault here as well. They do it to themselves. First off, how asinine is it to give someone a 10-year deal? That's not the players, that's the owners. We'll get into this a little bit more. I got a call on hold. Calling number is 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. I want to get the caller in before I guess call in, but I want to get back to this baseball thing because this is somehow going to get put on the players, and I really think it's the owners. But anyway, thank you for holding. This is Gabe Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Sad day for baseball, but not surprising, of course. I mean, we knew this was coming.
We did. And honestly, I don't get this one, Lou. The owners are doing it to themselves.
I know.
I mean, it's 10-year contracts are the stupidest thing in the world.
Exactly.
They really truly
the thing
are.
Is that, you know, you thought there was a glimmer of hope when they were shoveling all this money to players and getting their deals. You thought maybe that was a sign that it was going to get, you know, this deal over with and everything back to normal. No. In fact, yesterday they went for a meeting and it was only 7 minutes. I think they were just saying, well, we came here to tell us that we're giving up for now, so goodbye. You know, what the hell was that? You went in for a meeting, it was 7 minutes, and you resolved nothing. And we're like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Florida for vacation. Ugh.
Yeah. That's basically it. It's a matter of it's hard for them to cry poverty. It is hard for them to cry poverty when they're signing the deals that they signed last week. It makes no sense.
No.
So all we hear is big market, big market, big market, big market.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees don't sign everybody. The Dodgers don't sign everybody.
You hear what Manfred said.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad for the small market teams.
Yes. Like, shut up.
Let me ask you this, Lou. Yankees, big market team?
Yes.
When was the last time they won a World Series?
2009, if I recall.
Mets, big market team?
Yes.
2019, Yankees didn't win in
2009.
Yeah, the Mets, big market team, last World Series.
1846 BC, I think. No,
okay.
No, 1986. Just kidding.
Oh,
my sophomore year in high school.
The Dodgers have won one World Series in like the last 25 years. Big market team. The Cubs won one World Series in 100 years. Big market team.
Yeah.
The White Sox have won one World Series. Big market team. So I'm confused at the big market
team. It's bull, man. It's bull. Everybody thinks that a big market team is always going to win World Series. They get the payrolls and they can get these players to come out and play with them. But they still come up short. You can't honestly say that bigger market teams and huge amounts of money are going to win you a World Series, because guess what, people? The reality is it's not.
No.
In fact, if
I remember correctly, big market teams are actually putting themselves on more of a budget. So they're not just throwing money away over and over and over. So it gets kind of, like I said, baseball, this is the wrong time. You have the country with inflation going through the roof. You can't get your Amazon products. Everything is going haywire. People are looking for jobs still. People are looking for work. We're being told there's another variant of coronavirus. We're being told all this stuff. But then we have billionaires griping. Now, I look back, Lou, over the last 10 years to see which one of these big market teams were doing all the winning. So let's see. San Francisco won. They're not big market. Cardinals won. They're definitely not big market. San Francisco again. Boston, there's your big market. San Francisco again. KC, Cubs, there's your big market. Houston don't spend a lot of money. Red Sox, okay.
Big team anyway.
The Nationals, they don't spend a lot of money. So my point is, the argument, for me anyway, falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. Well, you said San Francisco's not a big market. That's a big city area. So I think I have to disagree with you a little bit on that.
Yeah, but they don't spend the money consistently like the Dodgers, the Yankees, or the Red Sox.
Right.
They're not.
Houston, we can't count because they cheat.
But I'm taking all that out because cheating is free, right?
Okay.
So
yeah, I know.
They didn't even hold on to all their talent. A lot of their guys left to go make more money. So, and they didn't go to the Yankees, and they didn't go to the Red Sox, they didn't go to the Dodgers. I think baseball is being full of you know what right now. And I think it's a long time. Listen, baseball has to understand this. This isn't the 1940s anymore. Kids are into MMA. Kids are into skateboarding. Kids are into X Games. 12-year-olds aren't going to miss watch of baseball. Not the way they used to.
Not like we did.
No.
40 years ago, we were doing the same thing. Because you remember, now, of course, everybody's familiar with the 1994 strike. But remember, people, for those of you under a certain age, the 1981, we had another strike, which is just as bad. And that cost us one quarter of a whole season. And the fans were not happy then either.
Well, remember, Lou, this isn't the players striking. These are the owners locking them out. It makes no sense.
Greed.
Makes absolutely no sense. No one wants to hear billionaires argue. They don't. They don't, especially since they're just arguing themselves.
Yeah.
But like I said, Paul,
this is a kind of their own greed and stupidity.
It really is. So,
now, 2020
we'll
was terrible because the pandemic. That's nobody's fault. There, this is your fault.
I find it absolutely amazing. They made sure they got a season in during COVID because they didn't want to lose money. But now they're locking players out.
But they did.
Okay.
But they lost money anyway.
Exactly.
So they claim.
Yeah. Yep. All right, my friend. Well, let me get to this guest. No, and you're far from it. Let me get to this guest, my friend, and we'll talk more because this isn't going to end soon.
Duh.
All right, buddy.
All right, Paul.
Have a good rest of your Thursday. Thanks, Lou.
That's
my man, Lou. Good friend of the program. So we'll be back. Got the one and only Mike catching it all on deck here. It's the Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. We're coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco Cigars with The Cave Show. Sports talk show here every single Thursday. Maduro's is our host. We're having a lot of fun talking about a lot of cool things that's going on. We are live every day. As you know, the easiest way to get us is to go ahead and click on that listen live button. Just go to sportscave.com. Cave is with the K. Let's have a replay over on KSRN. Download that app from the App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. Don't forget, we're also on Spotify as well as iHeartRadio. Cave Show is brought to you by SportsCave.com. Remember, whenever you look for anything, Cave Show, Sports Cave, whatever, it is always, always, always with a K. I tell you, man, this whole baseball thing has me just completely baffled. I think it's honestly just a load of crock. I think owners are full of themselves, and I'm tired of hearing about billionaires losing money when they're losing money because of their inability to control salaries, because there's no salary cap, be it hard, be it soft, be it whatever. They're the ones that are trying to protect themselves from themselves. Do not listen to Manfred. Manfred works for the owners. He's their voice. So remember that when you're thinking about this. Before you call the players greedy, just remember that. But everyone, it's that time. You know what that means.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves me till the end. People, let me tell
you. I told you it was coming, my man. The king of the 8-14, the one and only, Michael Caratenuto, Mitch Sports Personality himself. What's up, buddy?
A key shot like that right off the bat.
Well, what did I say? Did I say something that was wrong?
Come on. No, oh, come on. You're just poking at me. I know. It's all right. You want to get your other ASU friends and me going. But you know what? It's after Thanksgiving weekend. It's December 2nd. I'm going to be in the holiday spirit. I'll let you have your little fun there. It's all right, buddy. I love you.
First off, did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
No, it's for Cowboys game, you know, but I'm coming back, and the time manager won't be on the sideline, but it was good. How about yours? Watch a little football, play some basketball. What'd you do?
You know, man, it's the three F's, football, family, and food. The best thing in the world.
I agree. I agree with that. See, I like this happy conversation.
Yeah, that's why it's my favorite holiday, because it's the one holiday. Let's say you start cooking at like 6 a.m, right? You can pour yourself a shot and no one gives you a side eye because you're cooking and you're getting ready because game kicks off 10:30. So it's okay to have a little taste there early. Now on Christmas you can't do that, especially if you got kids, because you can't put that crap together. You can't do it. No one does that on Labor Day. No one does that on. You don't do that at all on, like, you know, Veterans Day or any day that I call the quote-unquote barbecue days, because you got to make it till at least 12 o'clock and it's hot as hell out here. So Thanksgiving is the one day where you can crack open that bottle at 6 a.m. and not catch side eye. But, hey, listen, before we get into ASU or Cardinals or any of that stuff, what are your thoughts on baseball? Because I honestly think the owners are not feeling the temperature in the room here. And this is not a growing sport anymore. Their fans, the majority of their fans, are old dudes, and I think they're really screwing the pooch on this one.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. You're right and wrong on both sides. And I know that sounds obviously contradictory and crazy to say, my friend, but yes, the players are greedy. I mean, look, you can go back to 94. They walked out on a World Series because at the time, the league minimum was $987,000. So you're baking an eyelash under $1 million. And, you know, if you're the 25th dude on the bench that's playing every 3 to 4 days, you know, you're making $987,000. So if they walked out on a World Series, they became the strongest union in all of sports. You and I mean, everybody knows that. The guaranteed contracts, this and that. So I disagree saying they're not greedy, but yes, I agree with you because the owners are too. And they do have the luxury tax. So yes, it's not truly a salary cap, but you know, if you go over a certain amount, teams do pay a luxury tax, but it's still a joke because those bigger market teams will spend, you know, like you and I know, Paul, they'll spend insanely godly amounts of money. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a greed thing, and I think the owners are just trying to, you know, come back on it because, again, after COVID, it was tough. You know, you and I talked, I think, in the beginning of, like, right when baseball was negotiating, and for once I took the player's side, like, no, our salary shouldn't be prorated. Like, if we're going to play 75 games, we get 75 games worth of salary. Or I know they wanted 162, and that's why, you know, during COVID, obviously, that was one of the reasons why it took longer to start or restart up, I should say. But, yeah, you know, I'm with you on both sides. It's frustrating to people when millionaires and billionaires are crying about, you know, losing money and this and that. And the baseball owners, it's like, yeah, you're losing money every year, but you're still owning the business, okay? Do we all look like we were born last night, Paul? I mean, that's the frustrating part to me.
Well, and while you were talking, I just – double-check myself just to make sure that I'm right here. Corey Seager just signed a 10-year deal worth $325 million. Now, the team that he signed with, when they signed A-Rod to 10 years, 250 years ago, they then claimed poverty because they couldn't afford anyone else. So they come back earlier this week and sign it out for 10 years, $325. And then we get the commissioner coming out saying, well, smaller market teams can't compete. Mike, this is baffling to me.
Right. But, you know, Tampa does it every year. I mean, Florida did it twice, and then they just dumped their team, sold off their team. But Tampa does it seemingly every year with this lower budget salary. And, I mean, we all know, you know, obviously the movie Moneyball was made from Billy Beane's book, but the A's did it for years. You know, developed their own talent, and then, of course, it got sold out. It got, you know, just purged from them and taken away. So you can win on a small budget, but you got to know these guys aren't going to be there. And the one caveat I'll always say with Moneyball, my friend, is that, you know, the movie was good, but it did not focus enough on, you know, I know he's getting what he's talking about offense, but, I mean, there was only one mention of Hutchinson in the movie, but Hutchinson, Mulder, and Zito are the three pitchers. You had them for a few years. You were going to be good. But that being said, I mean, you're right. Smaller market teams overall are never going to do it because, yeah, maybe they can get there. Maybe, like, the Marlins spent money for, you know, two seasons. But, yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, I mean, the Cubs, you know, they just made it like a joke of signing top free agents. But, again, it doesn't always mean you're going to win. But it is frustrating to small markets when they see their young talent get purged.
But Mike, and I'm aligned with this here, coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco Sports Cave, the Cave Show brought to you by the Sports Cave with PLR. I look back, and I went back and I did some reading on this just to make sure. Yankees put themselves on a budget because they couldn't keep spending the money. The Red Sox, they pretty much purged their team of their high-salary players. The Cubs purged their team of high salary players. So I'm looking back and I'm saying, okay, well, wait a second. Let me see how this money is spent when I look back and look at the World Series over the last 10 years. So in that time, we have the Red Sox winning a couple times back when they were spending a lot of money. We had the Cubs winning, but people don't remember this. When the Cubs won in 2016, they weren't spending money then. All those guys hadn't got their new deals in 2016. So they didn't spend money like a lot of teams did. So I'm looking here and I'm like, wait a second. The high market teams aren't spending all that money. And if they are, like the Dodgers, they have won World Series in 30 years. So when I hear
the Dodgers won 2 years ago.
Right, but that's the one time in 30 years.
Right.
So my point, though, is I get tired of hearing small market teams complain. Because you know what? All we're doing is saying, okay, this owner that's worth $2 billion is struggling versus this owner that's worth $10 billion. For the guy that's trying to feed his family and it's inflation, they don't want to hear that. They don't.
Right, no,
especially
no,
when you go to when you go to a game.
I agree with
and
you.
And a ticket. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to Cub games, even though I was a White Sox fan. I don't know how that went down, but you could sit.
Did you have
on a third baseline
at Wrigley?
Yeah, and you could sit on a third baseline for like $12. Those tickets now, even for the Diamondbacks, who lost 160 games last year, third baseline tickets are like $70. So you're telling us that you're not making enough money, but when your product is bad, Mike, baseball is the only sport that has a bad product and still charge you prime prices. Nobody wants to hear that nonsense.
100%. No, and that's the thing, but like with the small market, I mean, you say the Yankees didn't spend. They paid over $40 million a year for Garrett Cole. Aaron Judge, this is his last year of being on a low-end deal. Aaron Judge is going to be up in the 35 million after this labor thing gets, you know, whatever, they're allegedly locked out again until it affects spring training. Personally, I could care less until it starts affecting spring training, but I'm with you. But Aaron Judge is about to get paid. They gave Cole over $40 million. Scherzer just got the 3-year $40 million, basically $43 million a year with the Mets. So, yeah, no, I'm with you but the small market teams get it because you're right. These owners, you're saying they're worth this. And it's more so ownership groups now because you can't own separately. Teams are evaluated it too much, and you and I know that. So these ownership groups, and again, you're spreading it that way. Now, you know, I mean, everybody got mad at the Yankees when they were spending back in the day, but that's because George Steinbrenner started the Yes Network, and the Yankees were making $1 billion a year.
But they were also keeping their own players back in the 90s. They were in a position where, think about this, the Yankees, they had Jeter, they had Bernie Williams, they had all guys that came up through their farm system. If the Yankees don't sign them, what are we saying to them? Well, you can't afford your own players? Why are you being cheap? If they keep them, why are you paying them so much money? So they were in a damned if you do, damned
absolutely
if you don't. But my point with this Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but the thing is, in the mid to late 90s, that's when they started purging other guys. That's when, you know, the winter meetings, I remember, especially in the late 90s, you know, in early 2000s, the winter meetings, not that they weren't always the big deal, but when you have, like, you know, ESPN and Fox Sports and, you know, even like CBS Sports, like broadcasting from the winter meetings because Yankees started plucking big free agents then. But you're right. I mean, they kept homegrown guys, but if they could get a huge free agent, they would spend the money, and people were pissed because, well, their TV deal and this and that. But I'm with you because I am with you on this because I'm right. Smaller market teams, again, if you want to get that one player, but like you said, Texas complained about it. So where are you allocating your other money? If you go big on one, you're going to have to cut in other areas, which is going to affect the team inevitably.
So let me ask you this question, but before we switch subject. So let me see if I understand this correctly, right? So I'm gonna compare this to football, and I know it's apples and oranges. So most of the Major League Baseball teams, the cities, they have football teams there, right? So So Philly and baseball, that seems like that'd be small market then, right? And you gotta tell me Miami is small market, but they still have the Dolphins. The problem is, the owners don't share the money the right way. The TV money needs to be shared a way that benefits everybody. Also, when you give 10-year deals, that's bad all the way around for everybody. See, I have no issue with guys getting money. I don't. I love that 3-year deal for $40 million a year because you know what? In 3 years, you may not be the same. But the Angels signed What's my man that played for St. Louis? Escaping me. Played for St. Louis for years.
Albert Pujols.
They give Pujols 10 years when he's already like 48 years old. So if you're going to sign someone for a 10-year deal, that's where you take the NFL idea and say, we're going to front load your money because this is when you're still good now. And then at the back end, your salary will start to decrease.
Yeah, but the 10-year deal
will give you bonuses.
Right, the 10-year deal for A-Rod, he was young. And then, yes, Pujols was not 48. Why does everybody pick up Pujols? He's a good guy. Pujols was like, yes, in his mid-30s. So, yes, it made – or early 30s-ish. So it didn't make as much sense. But the 10-year deal I love is Fernando Tatis. I mean, the kid's, what, 24 years old? So, again, you get him until he's 34 and you pay him all that.
But I'm just saying,
I can live with it if you're 24. I'm agreeing with you. I guess I'm agreeing and disagreeing with you.
But, Mike, you front-load the money. Because
the contracts are guaranteed. It's set up different, so that's why you can't front-load the money.
You can front-load the money. You can say for 10 years, we're going to give you $300 million. But in the first 3 years of that contract, you're going to get like $120 million or $130 million of that $300 million. The last 7 years, your contract will start to decrease, and we'll tie in bonuses to give you your money. But Major League Baseball isn't smart enough to do that. When we look at the NFL,
The players won't go for it because they know they have a guaranteed contract, and there's no way, Scott Boras is like the shark agent in baseball, right? So, like, he's never going to have his clients agree to that because then they can still trade. I mean, you could still put in a no-trade clause. You're still going to get it. But, yeah, each year it's less. But those first 3 years, if it doesn't pan out either, you're still screwed. I get what you're saying, but the players would never go for it. And the fact that the agents wouldn't either in baseball, I love what you're saying. It is. If I'm an owner, I want you to – I want your idea in the game. I love what you're saying. But I just think, like you said in the beginning, it is apples and oranges, but it is a good idea. But I don't think no player would ever go for it because they know that even if their production goes down that last year, yeah, they may have gotten the $300 million, but they still want the $30 million every year.
Well, I will say this, Mike, and I'll leave it at this. I get that, but the owners do that to themselves because you can give them one. If I came to you right now and I say, hey, Mike, I'll give you 10 years of $300 million, or I'll give you I'll give you 5 years with at like $200 million, 210. And then that gives you the right, if you're good, to go back and get the other. I just think baseball is doing this at the wrong time, especially when you're going to impact economies for people. Mike, this isn't football. If football locked their players out, fans would scream to get back. If this is hoops, fans are like, yeah, they're greedy, but you know what, fine, we'll watch it, whatever. They don't have anything because basketball, at worst, you have kids in college playing that you're anxious to see in the pros. In football, you have kids in college playing that you're anxious to see in the pros. Nobody gives a damn about college baseball or the minor leagues. And I know that may sound cold, but you can't stop one average fan on the street and say, hey, who won the College World Series last year? Almost all of them will say, oh, they have one. So you're different from the beginning. I agree, but I think
you give people a little – you don't credit people enough. But, yes, you definitely make a very valid point there. But let's move on. Let's talk about something more fun.
Let's move on. I want to talk about ASU because we honestly only really got 11 minutes left. So 7 weeks ago, you were on this show, and you called me everything but a child of God when I said ASU – will forever be an 8-4 team because they just don't make that splash. They are an average team in a Big Five conference. And I want to take all the injuries out. I want to take all this out. And like I said, you call me everything but a child of God. And then I get to the end of the year, we're 7 weeks later, and their record is 8-4, and they're going to another average bowl game, and we're right back where we started. And it's because the Pac-12, not just ASU, they're a bunch of reaction people. Every other conference is a proactive conference. But we're the conference of champions. So we keep flying that banner. And while we're flying that banner, Every other conference is moving on. A two-loss Oregon team can't sniff the playoffs, but they're going to come up with every reason possible if Alabama loses two games. So, again, we're back to being the middle of the road. Oklahoma State has a shot to go to the playoffs. Guess where the Pac-12 is? Playing in the Holiday Bowl. Look out. Playing down in
all right,
El Paso.
Negative Nancy. All right, Negative Nancy. We're not going to El Paso, first of all. Yes, it is 8-4, but it's not middle of the road. Look, I will say this.
It's not?
I did not call you – for your fans, I did not call you names. I just said you have to make everything as a whole. And at some time – and yeah, you did say yes, but look, when you add up – the out-of-conference schedules of these teams. And you talk about the SEC, right? Everybody wants to talk about the SEC. Oh, it's great. The bottom of that conference is trash, okay? And it has been trash for 5 years. And nobody
what does that have to do with
about
eight? What does that have to do with ASU being 8-4?
I'm getting to it. To your point about Alabama to be in two losses. No, I'm getting to it. I'm just saying they talk about that, okay, the bottom is trash. ASU being 8-4. The Pac-12, when you sit there and they have – 9 conference games. The SEC doesn't. And then they play pathetic teams right before big games, allegedly. And, yes, if Alabama does have 2 losses, they are not sniffing the playoff. I'll tell you that right now. That's a team that rushed, real quick side note, for only 6 yards against an average LSU team, right? They only rushed for 6 yards, and it took double overtime to beat an average Auburn team without their starting quarterback. So, okay, they win. Hats off to them. Fine. They're not as dominant as they were, and I think Georgia crushes them anyway and ends that thing. Back to ASU, though. Yes, it is 8-4. It is better. It could have been better this season. I don't disagree. Expectations are always good and evil to have, as we know. But I will say this. They never quit on her. Their body language is never different. And you know I like Todd Graham. You and I had many conversations about this. I like Todd Graham. I like how when he came in, and yes, they needed a little bit of a discipline overall in general, and people would say, oh, Dennis Erickson. I like Dennis Erickson too, but I like what Todd Graham did. I will say this. The body language a lot of times when things started to go south was not good. They've had comeback victories. The first two seasons under Herm, every game was 7 points or less if they did lose. So they don't quit on him. And – again, yes, things have to change. I want to get to 9 wins too, but I'm sick and tired of hearing that our 9 and 10 wins as well. But I'm sick and tired of hearing, oh, the Pac-12 doesn't have this and that. They're 2-0 against the SEC this year. Oregon, without the best defensive player in the country, went into everybody's beloved Ohio State, who plays crap the first month of the season anyway, except for when they decide to sign to play one big game. Oregon, without the best defensive player in the country, went into Columbus and smacked him in the face. Michigan smacked him in the face again.
What does that have to do with ASU being 8-4 again? They lost
you said the
Pac-12 out of conference.
But
I'm still talking about ASU
question.
As well. They went out of conference to play BYU. They lost. Then you said, well,
right.
But in conference, they're losing to Utah. They lost at home, embarrassingly, to Washington State team that had just fired their coach.
Yeah, and Washington State also won out, too. Washington State also won out. So, again, you have to line up across the team from you. And yes, top to bottom, I came on your show and I said, yes, from top to bottom, ASU does have a deeper roster. But Washington State punched him in the mouth, and Mike Tyson's thing. Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. They tried to adjust. They had too many turnovers. No, Herm made no excuses. He said what happened. They have to play better and move on. But to answer your Pac-12 question, you're right. 2 losses isn't sniffing. And look, I said that to you on your show before ASU played Utah, not as an out, not as an excuse, is that 2 teams in general, and this year one of them, I don't know what happened. Well, they got hurt a lot, but still, it's not a David Shaw team. There's 2 teams I will never give anybody a hard time losing to, and that's Utah and Stanford, because ever since Kyle Whittingham came into the Pac-12. They made the Pac-12 with Colorado, and he started recruiting. That first 2 years was a little rough. Utah will never be out physical. You'll have to go toe to toe with them. You can be as physical as them. You have to go toe to toe with Utah, and it's not an excuse. And I know for a fact, and I've told you this before, there are big teams that won't sign a home and home with Utah because they don't want to come play there from other conferences. And that's a, just because the Pac-12 might beat up on each other does not mean there's not good teams. And just because teams go play joke teams, you're telling me Iowa, right? Okay, I want to ask a question real quick with the Big Ten. You're telling me Iowa, who's athletic director, is the president of the CFP, the two toughest games they've played, they got just pummeled by teams that were better than them and won by a team that they have three losses, yet they're still ranked in the top 25 when all their toughest games they didn't come close in. And you're telling me Utah team.
I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you this. The best team in the North, it's the second best team in the North, is 7-5. Then the next team is 7-5. Then it's 4-7. Then it's 4-8. Then it's 3-9. And when we get to the South, the best team is 9-3. The second best team is ASU. They're 8-4. UCLA is 8-4. 4-7, 4-8, 1-11. So, no, I'm going to tell you that they're no better than the Mets.
Go look at the bottom of the SEC. Go look at the bottom of the SEC and the bottom of the Big Ten.
There's no way. But you know what they do every year? You know what the Big Ten does every year? They send a team to the playoffs. You know what they do in the SEC? They send a team to the playoffs. You know what they do in the ACC? They send a team to the playoffs.
Okay, but
you know what they don't do in the Pac-12? They don't send a team to the playoffs.
You're talking on the both sides of your mouth. Well, why should it? Okay, but again, the whole system needs to be reformed. And no, it's not to make it for a space for the Pac-12. Because I've always told you from the beginning, if you're qualified to be there, you're qualified to be there. But my point is, if you're good enough, you get all the credit in the world for playing alleged tough conference games. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth when you play pathetic teams that aren't as deep as you, that don't have the matchup, and you're just playing them to pad your stats and everybody celebrates you. You don't get people – the committee talks out of both sides of their mouth. Because I'll tell you right now, if Oregon avenges that loss against Utah, right? Yeah, you're right. They're not going to sniff the playoff. But in the Pac-12 championship, if Oregon turns around and beats a very good Utah team, they'll jump up a few spots. They'll go to the Rose Bowl. That'll be that. My point is, though, if they beat them and turn around, you can't tell me it's not a good year. And, yeah, you're saying, 8-4, 8-4, 7-5. I can look at the bottom of the SEC. It's the same record. And they play
crap
schools.
I'm looking at the bottom of the Big Ten right now. And the teams that are at the bottom of the Big Ten are traditionally at the bottom of the Big Ten. Illinois, Northwestern, Indiana, and Rutgers. All the other teams have a 500 winning record or more. But that's besides the point, because we only got a couple minutes left. I want to get back to ASU. ASU traditionally, and I did this one time you were on the show, I went over their record for the last, 15 years. I want this school to do well. I think this is what everyone loses with me. I want this school to do well. I love ASU. I'm back. I'm on a train with Herm. I don't want people to get that. I'm the person pulling the horn. But there comes a time.
Yeah, I know.
There comes a time where average isn't good enough anymore. And until they adopt that,
okay,
that it's just not good enough. So,
right. But here's the thing, too. Okay.
Aren't you tired of going to El Paso? I don't want to go to El Paso no more.
Well, they're not going.
I want to Vegas no more.
They're not going. Yes.
I don't want to go to San Diego
anymore. I am tired of El Paso, but I'm guessing they're going to San Diego this year. That would be my guess for the Holiday Bowl. That would be my guess. And again, it is later in the season. It's better. But here's the thing. When Washington played Alabama, what was that, 3 years ago? 3 years ago in the playoffs? When Washington played Alabama and Washington went flat out, rolled through the North, won the Pac-12, I think they had one loss, I think, that year, but they had one loss. They won the Pac-12 championship. Alabama beat them 21-7, and that was it. But do you know, everybody talking about playoffs in Washington, the Pac-12, what did they rip on? Washington's schedule. Funny, they didn't rip on Alabama's schedule for playing Central. Hold on, let me finish because it's annoying. Pathetic teams before they play a tough game. It's supposed to be tough.
I'm not disagreeing.
They need a team to go undefeated. Do you know why teams have to go undefeated in college football? Because everybody doesn't talk about that dirty little secret in the corner.
Mike,
you play pathetic teams, you have to go undefeated. If you play the real schedule.
Now, I disagree. So let me ask you this question.
I'm just saying.
What does ASU have to do to stop being mediocre?
Sorry, that's what I was going to say to you. The Pac-12 needs to do what the SEC does. Go to an eight game conference schedule, right? And then throw some New Mexico State in the week before you play Auburn. Throw New Mexico State in the week before you play Auburn and get credit for it, because if they don't give the Pac-12 credit, then I'm going to sit there and say, well, you gave them credit for playing nobody, but yet it's they play such a tough schedule. It's supposed to be tough. It's competition,
So that's nine victories. Let's throw in Southeast Southern State. That gives ASU nine victories. You know what that is? Still mediocre.
They'd end up with 11 victories because they wouldn't play anybody the first 3 weeks. And that's what
they
the
don't.
First 2 weeks. And I mean, right. So
they
so,
don't.
But again,
they don't already, though.
If they run the table. Do you know, and you can look this up, because there was a stretch that, you know, right before the playoffs, that there was a few teams, like Division I teams, that didn't play FCS teams. And you know who was on that list? USC, Fresno State, and Hawaii. And because Fresno State and Hawaii have to take those games. But here's the thing. There's never one SEC or Big Ten school on that team. Never one. So my point to you is, yes, you make great points. And, yes, 8-4 is tough to stomach when you feel you have an experienced team when fully healthy and everybody out there and what they've built up so far. You feel good about it. And, yes, it should have been better. I agree with Washington State. Utah, again, you had your foot on the gas in Utah, one of the toughest places to play in the country, but they lost. I understand. But I'm saying it's going the right way. If they're 8-4 next year, then, yes, I'll just say I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a curse. But I'm telling you right now.
I don't believe in curses unless it's the Cubs. We can go round and round in this. I'll tell you what's going to make the Pac-12 better when SC starts winning, because every conference has a bell cow. Once USC starts winning, everything for everyone else will get better. So I love that they signed a real coach that will do something. But real quick, because we don't have a lot of time. All right. ASU basketball? What the hell?
God, dude, I watched every second of that game, and I know people are probably applauding me or saying I'm crazy because, I mean, unfortunately I wasn't there, but I watched every second. 10 points in the first half, 19 in the second. Paul, the only thing I say is it can't get any worse shooting, and it can't get any worse than that. So that's your one very, very crappy game that – a team might have in a season, and hopefully they just exercise those demons. Bobby Hurley gets together, puts a little seance circle, burns all the jerseys, burns all their shoes, burns their shirt and tie, and you move on. I don't know what to say. I mean, Paul, you and I have watched basketball for years. I literally, when something's that bad, you outside of the shoe, you figure you have something to say. I mean, both sides were just terrible. I think there was like some hex around Desert Financial. It was terrible. It was terrible.
I'm not talking about just that game. What's going on this season?
Oh, well, yeah, you're right. I mean, they play some tough, obviously, you know, I mean, you play some competition you feel you should have beat. You go to Atlantis, and, I mean, that was tough. But it was one of those things where, man, I mean, again, look, We talked about it in the beginning. It might take these guys a minute to get used to playing together. This is the other side of the transfer portal, man. Experienced guys, you figure, you know, they have to adapt to each other. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think they have the talent to bounce back? Yes. Do I think right now they could chase down a UCLA? Probably not. I mean, and you know that pains me to say, but, I mean, that's they definitely have the talent to turn it around, but man, they got to figure it out. They got to do something to get caught. You coach basketball. You got to figure out something to get rhythm and get comfortable with each other.
Yeah, they lost to Riverside, man. I dare anyone. I'll tell you what. I'll buy
on a 70-foot shot,
anyone.
Dude. No.
When you know this. When you're coaching basketball and you're playing a team that's inferior to you, you put them away so you don't give them confidence. The second you give them confidence, they hang around. And when they hang around, anything can happen. And that's exactly what they let happen.
Touché.
They let a team that was inferior to them hang around. So here's my question. Here's my question. Is there anyone at ASU, any coaches at all, and I'm taking Charlie off because we know what she's done consistently every year. Is there any coach in the major sport that should feel like they're on a hot seat?
I mean, sure, everybody's always going to say yes because, and not you, I'm not saying you, but people always say, oh, fire the coach. Well, who's walking in the door and you're still starting over? I get
Agreed.
It. It has to happen at times. It has to happen at times, and I'm with you on that. I mean, I think every coach, if you're how you get to a great level, not that you're on eggshells, Paul, but I think, I mean, I don't know if I've ever said this to you before, but I've said it to a lot of people. I think a coach should always feel they're on the hot seat. Because if you don't, now you don't want to be on egg, feeling you're on the hot seat and delivering is different, as you know, than walking on eggshells, feeling that everything's, you know, obviously, you know, that glass floor. But no, I'm with you. Like, I mean, yeah, I think you, I guess you could, but I think with how Bobby in general has got things turned around. And again, I know 8-4, if they win a bowl game, 9-4, but again, Herm, I mean, Ray said in the press conference after U of A, he's going to be back. Ray Anderson and Michael Crow addressed the team in the locker room after the game. But, I mean, look, it's – yes, I think every – inevitably, if I'm coaching, I'm telling you, I would always feel that I'm on the hot seat. You got to make good things, but I'm not going to be on eggshells. I'm still going to go forward, and it's just a thing you have to – I think it's a balance because if you, cause you and I – I mean, you know it. That's why you're asking the question. If you get too comfortable, you're – but the time – the second you get too comfortable is the second your bags are being packed for you out the door.
So when I'm looking at this team, I look through. These are the bold projections for ASU. Pretty much every entity from Yahoo, CBS Sports, Sporting News, the Four Letter, College Football News, The Athletic, they all have ASU pinned with the exception of Sporting News, have them pinned for the Las Vegas Bowl. Now, personally, I like Vegas. Let me cover that game. As long as it falls right.
Oh, you'll finally go? You'll finally go? I missed you on Saturday.
Well,
I was looking for my friends.
Like I said, as long as it falls right, I will be there. But, man.
Right. No, I know.
There has to come a time. There has to, Mike. I mean, you get to a point where you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I love your optimism, and I love the fact that you make and the points that you point out. But there comes a time when we're sitting here saying how what we could be, and we look at the paper, at the newspaper or online, whatever, and you see Oklahoma State is one team tripping up from being in a playoff. Mike Gundy isn't even that great of a coach. And Oklahoma State
Gundy's
has
a good
shot.
Coach.
But this is
the best defense they've had. I mean, I know it's Big 12 and defense don't mix for Big 12 fans. They want to know what defense, what's that? But this is the best defense they have had in years.
But my point though is, even they have a shot. There has to come a time where you're like, dang, what is it we
okay,
need
right,
to
but,
do?
Okay, but let me ask you this. The other, and again, I appreciate you saying, look. I don't want people and fans out there to think that you and I just take differing sides. Yes, my optimism, and we know, yes, I am a Sun Devil, I am an alum, but I can always call it like I see it, as you know. And, yes, my vision sometimes is shaded by maroon and gold glasses. I get it. But I will say this. Don't let my passion and optimism to everyone out there fool you for, yes, I do expect to get better. I want to go back to a Rose Bowl. It's been 25 years since they have been to a Rose Bowl. That is frustrating. And, no, I agree with you. That is not acceptable. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, there haven't been good teams in the Pac-10, the Pac-10/12, the Pac-12's bad. It's just a pathetic, weak, lazy storyline by the national media because, again, 2-0 against the SEC, 1-1 against the Big Ten. So I look at it this way. I want better. Yes, in everything. I expect that. But has to change in the sport anyway. But they need to get there because, yes, I'm with you.
We have 2 minutes left. Let me give you something. Let me just leave you with this. Cincinnati, under Luke Fickell, has gone 11-2, 11-3, 9-1 because of the pandemic, 12-0. Under Butch Jones, they went 10-3, 10-3, 9-4, 9-4. Under Brian Kelly, they went 10-3, 11-3, 12-1. So here's my question to you, and I can bring up the Wichita State Shockers record. You mean to tell me that they can recruit and develop in Wichita and in Cincinnati better than we can at ASU with this weather and those co-eds? Huh. Something is 100% wrong. 100% wrong. There is no way on God's that Wichita State basketball should be able to recruit and maintain talent better than ASU basketball. There's no way the Cincinnati Bearcats in Cincinnati. I don't know if you've ever been to Cincinnati, and I'm not going to dump on Cincinnati. But I would much rather live in Tempe than in Cincinnati. But they do a great job recruiting and keeping talent and winning every year. To me, it's baffling. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. Listen, we did not do picks today, so that means you have to join us tomorrow. I will give you the pick tonight. Dallas will beat New Orleans. I take the points, roll with it, because I do not believe in Taysom at all. At all. Listen, we flew through. Got to give you a commercial before we get out of here. This Cave Show with TLR. We lost my man Mike. Trying to get him back so he can give you all his handles and all this stuff before we get out of here. Cave Show, PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Right back here with the Cave Show, bringing it in right now. Got to let you know, last segment brought to you by Scott and Solo. Wine Consult, Katie Calhoun. 602-410-4821. When you're tired of wine being served with sugars, additives, preservatives, all that stuff, give her a call. Wine served the select way, brought to you. You can buy it the right way. No additives, no preservatives, none of that stuff. Give her a call. 602-410-4821. Tina Calhoun, your consultant for Scout and Seller. Tonight here at Maduro's is Ladies Night. Make sure you come down and check it out. Make sure you let them know that PLR sent you. That way they can take care of you. Make sure you have all the fun in the world. I thank you for hosting me just like you do every Thursday. Thank you, Mike, for joining in. Lost him. Didn't get to follow up with him before we got out of here, which really sucks. But make sure you're catching him for sure on his Twitter. He has one of the best follows. He is funny. That's my guy, 100%. His Twitter handle is Diablos. 00. Make sure you are following him there for sure. Also, you can get him on Instagram at Michael Caratenuto 77. Listen, thanks everyone for joining in with me. Make sure you hang out with us tomorrow. Bears play the Cardinals this weekend. I have the Super back on. We'll be having fun talking about the Bears and the Cardinals. So he'll be on with me, Sean and Maya, in the morning. It's his radio show out of Chicago. Until tomorrow, everyone, thank you for hanging. Appreciate it very much. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Cave Show. Excuse me, at The Sports Cave. Cave is with a K on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The website is sportscave.com. Again, Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone be safe. Take care of each other. And tips at this point. Bring us home. It's been The Cave Show, PLR. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.